12. Get this thing started. We will call to order the Petersburg Borough Assembly regular meeting for Monday, April 4th, 2022. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Jeff?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Thomas?
Here.
Chelsea?
Here.
Mark?
Mark is excused.
Bob?
Here.
David?
Here.
Thank you.
We have six members here today, all of which are sitting in chambers. Let us please rise for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Probably for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda item number three is the approval of minutes. We have, I would entertain a motion to approve the March 21st, 2022 assembly meeting minutes.
So move.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Tremblay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The approval of minutes passes unanimously. Bringing us on to item number four, to either amend or approve the meeting agenda as presented. I would entertain a motion in either direction.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Member Mucci.
Under new business, I'd like to remove item 15F from discussion.
With me? Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
So an amendment has been made to strike 15F, those listening home, which is Fire Chief, as member of borough staff. Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll on the amendment?
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, there's one other change there. I believe that on Medical Center, on item 11, reported by other officers, Mr. Hofstetter won't be available today.
Yep. Thank you for that. Clerk okay. Thompson filled me in. So, any other amendments to today's agenda?
Yes.
Member Tremblay.
Thank you. I'd like to add a new item under discussion. So this would be the new item F, and it'll be called Ranked Choice Voting Information Session.
All right. Discussion. That's under a discussion item. Ranked Choice. Got it. Clerk Thompson, is there a second to that amendment?
A second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed to the amendment? Okay. Clerk Thompson, if I forget at that point, wrangle me back in, but I think I've got it.
Yeah, that's good.
Any other amendments to today's agenda? Okay, in that case, clerk, please call the roll on the meeting agenda as amended. To approve the, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Thank you.
All right, then we got there. Motion been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Tremblay. Clerk, please call the roll on that.
Thomas?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And Jay?
Yes. We unanimously approve
the meeting agenda. Public hearings. Clerk Thompson, could you speak to the public hearing we're going to have scheduled today?
Yes, I mistakenly left off the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-04, which is the adjusting the FY22 budget for known changes. So I will just have the public hearing at the next meeting with the third reading.
Thank you for filling us in, and no worries, these things happen. We have no bid awards today, which brings us to item number 7, persons to be heard related to the agenda. If anyone in the audience would like to speak to topics on the agenda, please come forward. You've got 5 minutes. Please address the assembly as a whole. Be civil and respectful. Looking at you, Glow, just kidding. The floor is yours.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Gloria Ann Wallen, and I am here just to voice my support for creating a task force for the early childhood group, and I would hope that you would also include a little bit of a budget for them so that they could spend some money maybe getting some outside information as far as a presentation, maybe from the person in Juneau, that kind of thing. So add a little bit of money to them, to that group at the discretion of maybe Steve or Jody. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Gloria Ann Wallen. Any other Members of the audience, care to testify to things related to the agenda? Please state your name and who you represent.
My name is Becky Churland. I am here representing the Share Coalition. I actually wasn't going to speak, but was going to just be here to watch and observe. But as Glo said, I am here to support the child care task force that's coming in. It's very important for our community. I don't think we need to wait for our state or federal government to do something. We need to step forward and help our community as is now for the future of our children and our economic status. So just want to come in and voice my opinion and see what happens today. So thank you.
Thank you for your feedback. Any other members of the audience who would care to speak to things related to today's agenda? Seeing none, Clerk Thompson, do we have anybody who's chosen to Zoom in on this sunny day?
We do not.
Thought I would check. Sounds good. With that, I'll bring it down to item 8, persons to be heard on things unrelated to today's agenda. Seeing none, we'll plow ahead to board, commission, and committee reports. We do not have any today, nor is there anything on the consent agenda. We do not have anything under report of other officers, and as Member Lynn, for report of other officers, Member Lynn mentioned before that Dr. Hofstetter will not be able to be here today, but we do have Clerk Thompson. You have something to say.
Yes, I apologize, but I think for some reason I have the wrong Zoom meeting recording because we should have somebody on here to give this audit report, and he's not here. And I got a text from Director Cotta saying he can't get on, and it says that I have another meeting going on. So what I am going to do, if that's okay with everyone, is I'm going to stop this meeting. I'm going to go find the right meeting and start it. Is that all right?
Should we take a 5-minute recess and while you take care of this?
Thank you. That'd be wonderful.
Cool. Take a 5-minute recess, reconvene at 12:12.
We're drunk on sunshine today. Just can't function.
Cool. All right. How do I pronounce that name?
You pronounce Vicky's last name.
It did sound very confident.
Just making sure. All right, I got it. All right, we will reconvene the April 4th, 2022 regular Borough Assembly meeting, which puts us on report of other officers. Vicky Shrestha is the audit partner with BDO. I apologize if I mispronounced your last name. And will provide a review of the borough's fiscal year 2021 audit and financials. Financial statements may be found on the borough's website, www.petersburgak.gov/finance/page/budget-financial-statements. And you can find that link to that on the agenda. Anyway, Vicky, the floor is yours.
Hi, this is George. Actually, I'm the senior on the audit, and I'm joining with Vicky. Vicky's having a little bit of a challenge with his audio at the moment, so we might just need a couple minutes to get him connected. I apologize for that.
No problem. Want to wait, Clerk Thompson, or if you take another break, how do you want to play this one as we're waiting for this? Or George, do you want to lead out with it, or do you feel comfortable? Should we wait for Vicky?
One second. I think I connected on the same link, so I think it might not be allowing him to connect because I'm on here. So I'm going to actually jump off and see if he's able to connect.
You bet. We'll see how it goes.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Vicky, can you hear us? Got to log off and log back on. We'll give it a second. For those listening at home, today is a day of interesting technical irregularities, so the sunshine gets to everything, I guess. As we're waiting for Vicky to log back on. How about now?
Here he is.
All right.
You're muted.
Yeah, unmute yourself, I think.
There you go.
All right, there we go.
All right, floor is yours, sir.
Sorry about that.
Floor is yours, Mickey.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. My name is Vicky Shrestha, and I am the audit partner at BDO, in charge of your audit as of this year. First of all, I'd just like to, this is my first time presenting to the assembly here. Sam Thompson was the director in charge of the job in the past years. Sam has since moved on to BDO National in the government area, and he's still living in Anchorage, so we still have access to Sam for any questions we have. But he's not part of the Anchorage office anymore. So because of that, I transitioned into the borough's audit for this year. So we have two packets that was provided. So one of them is the audit wrap-up document that kind of looks like this. It just says report to the borough's assembly. And then the other one is the financial statements. So I was gonna start with the audit wrap-up document and briefly walk through the results of the audit as presented in the audit wrap-up document. Before that, I do like to start by thanking all of the staff at the borough that helped us get through the audit. It is a lot of work putting together an audit and getting through all the samples and all of the questions we have throughout the time, and then your report is actually pretty complicated to put together. So between all that, it takes a lot of effort on their part that adds to the regular day-to-day duties that they actually have to do too. And because of the significant amount of CARES funding this year, with the single audit, there's a lot of additional work that we had to do as part of the audit, and which also results in more time spent by your staff through because of all the samples we have to request. So after that, I just go through the audit wrap-up document. Just one thing to note on this document is this is basically a brief overview of the result of the audit. And in this document, you will find certain communication from us to you as the board of directors or the assembly there. That basically provides all the information that helps you in your responsibility in overseeing the financial reporting process. So in the audit wrap-up document, I am gonna go to page 6. Page 6 of this document is labeled the status of the audit. So as it says over here, we have completed our audit of the financial statements. Our audit was conducted in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States. And because you get federal and state funding, it's also an audit in accordance with government auditing standards. The first bullet point there, the objective of our audit was to obtain reasonable, not absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material mistakes. So basically what this means is we're not there to look at each and everything that goes through the borough's financials. We do our risk assessment procedures, and we tend to look at majority of all your material line items in your financial statements. And we also do a lot of random sampling throughout the audit. So there's a lot of items that have a chance of getting selected too. The third bullet point there, we have issued an unmodified or a clean opinion or the highest level of assurance you can get on the financial statements and released our report on March 15, 2022. We have also issued an unmodified opinion on the borough's single audit for your federal single audit. The second to the last bullet point there, all records and information that we requested was freely available for our inspection, and management cooperation was excellent throughout the whole process. Now we'll go to the next page, results of our audit, page 7. In this page, we basically highlight where in the financials the new recent accounting pronouncement that's going to affect the borough's financial statements. Like, those are listed on note 16 in the financial statement. So that's kind of listed here. And if there were any changes in accounting policies and practices at the borough, then that would also be noted here. Luckily for us, for 2021, we didn't have any changes in accounting, significant changes in accounting principles that we have to report to you. In here, we also note some significant estimates that management has to make as part of the financial statement preparation. The first one is allowance for your uncollectible accounts on your receivables, for your various receivables. And the other one is really your pension and OPEB liabilities. Just to note that management actually does not make this estimate. This information is obtained from the state of Alaska. There's an audit done at the Division of Retirement at the state of Alaska. And then there is also an audit done on the allocation of the net pension liability and the related healthcare liability to different organizations in the state. So the portion for the borough is actually obtained from those audited statements. But please note that that is an estimated amount, and that amount might change depending on various different factors throughout the year. But the information is available from the Division of Retirement. Then we'll move on to page 9, results of the audit. Page 9 also lists out if we had any corrected or uncorrected misstatements. We report that right here. And attached to this document is the representation letter that management signed as part of the audit. And it has those entries. Just to note, really, the only entries that we had to, we always helped the borough with the entries related to the pension liabilities. And really, that was the only, that was the adjustment that had to be made on the financial statement. So it's the pension related entry based on the information obtained from the Division of Retirement. And there was another small minor entry, but that's really nothing that we need to discuss. And if we had any uncorrected misstatement that management chose not to book in their financial statement, we'd also note that here, but we don't have any of that. Next page, page 10, group audit. Just noting here that the financial statements do also include a summarized information for the two entities that report as part of the boroughs as a group audit. So that includes the school district. The school district was audited actually by one of our teams at BDO2, and they had an unmodified opinion on their financial statement. And then it also includes Petersburg Medical Center. That is actually audited by other auditors, and their report was provided to put the information in the financial statements. Next one, page I'm gonna go to is page 12, internal control over financial reporting. One important item I do want to talk about over here is, as part of our audit, we just don't look at the financial numbers that goes through your trial balance. We, as part of our audit process, the first thing we need to do is get an understanding of your financial reporting process and the internal control surrounding it. And as part of that process, if we were to find any issues that we think could cause errors in the financial statements, or gives instances where there could be some misappropriations of assets or anything like that. If we notice any of those issues, we would actually categorize them into one of the three categories described here: a control deficiency, a significant deficiency, or a material weakness. Any items that we deem to be significant deficiencies or material weakness would actually have to be presented in writing. And on the financial statements itself, since you're subject to an audit in accordance with government auditing standards, any of those significant deficiencies or material weaknesses would actually be presented as findings in the financial statements. So none of that to report for 2021. Next page, we did have one small control deficiency that we are reporting. We did see that the investment funds do not completely align with the authorized general investment policy there. So that's something for management to look over in the future. And then I'm gonna go to page 15, other required communication. Just a bunch of communication noted here, just a few things to highlight. We're not aware of any consultation that management had to have with other accountants. We don't have any disagreements with management about any accounting related matters, and we didn't have any other significant findings or difficulties during the audit. So that's all I have on the wrap-up document portion of it. Any questions so far?
Any questions from the assembly today? Doesn't look like it, Vicky. Thank you so much for going over that with us today. Appreciate it.
Then I can go through a brief overview of the financial statements if you prefer, but that's the question I was gonna have to you. If you wanna do that, then I'll go over some of the items on the financial statements too.
What that to the assembly? Do any members of the assembly have interest in this?
Yeah, briefly, yes.
Yeah, go for it, Vicky, that'd be great.
Okay, sounds good. So the next packet that you have is the actual printed financial statements itself. And then we're gonna skip over a bunch of pages here because there's lots of documents in this page in that financial. It's a pretty big financial statements because you have so many funds, your governmental funds, your enterprise funds, all of that is included in the financial statements. One of the big things to note in here is there are three independent auditors report included in the financial statements. And those are the only three documents really we as auditors own. The rest of the information is what management has provided, and we basically put together based on the information management has provided for the financial statements. So saying that, I'm gonna go all the way to page 20 in the financial statement, exhibit A-1. Exhibit A-1, this is your statement of net position in a for-profit world. This would be your balance sheet. This statement has all of the assets, everything that the borrower owns, and all of the liabilities, everything that you owe, and the difference between that is your net position. Please note that the information over here is separated between your governmental activities, your business type activities, and this statement also has the information, summarized information for Petersburg School District and the Medical Center. So the big item here, total assets and deferred outflow of resources for the borough in total was 152 million. Out of that, 67.8 million was in the governmental activities and 84.4 million was in business type activities. As you can see, majority of that assets is really your fixed assets and your land and construction in progress. You have approximately 46.7 million in the governmental activities and $64 million in your business type activities in your capital assets. The other big line items here is your cash and investments. At the end of 2021, you had $35.3 million in cash and investment. $20.7 million of that was in your governmental activities, and $14.6 million was in your business type activities. Next page, page 21, shows your liabilities and your net position. Compared to your asset, you only had liabilities of approximately almost $22 million for the borough. 10.5 of that was in your governmental activities and 11.5 was for business type activities. And the two big numbers that make up your liabilities is your $9.7 million in bonds and loans and $9.2 million in your pension liability, basically. Just to note that for your pension liability, like I was talking about earlier, that information is obtained from the State of Alaska Division of Retirement, and that amount is not due in a year or whatever. It's not due currently, I should say, that for your purposes, you're still only paying the 22% of your employees' payrolls for everybody that's in PERS. So that's a brief overview of your statement of net position. Then I am gonna move all the way to page 24 now. Page 24 is your governmental fund balance sheet. And over here, you'll find the same information. So your assets, everything that you own, your liabilities, and the difference between that is your fund balance. At the end of 2021, June 30th, 2021, your total assets for your governmental activities was $17.8 million. Out of that, almost $5.9 million was in the general fund, and almost $12 million was in your non-major funds. When we say non-major funds, basically GAAP requires us to calculate, there's a certain threshold calculation that's done. So if any of your funds get to approximately 10% of assets, liabilities, revenue, or expenditures, those are noted to be major funds, and those would have to be presented here. So this just has the information about major funds, and then your non-major fund combining balance sheet and income statements is in the back of the financial statements too. So that's in the supplementary information, and you can look at more details there if you want it. This leaves you with your total liabilities at the end of 2021 of $1.3 million, and leaving you with your fund balance in your governmental activities of $16.6 million. Please note that $4.3 million of that amount is restricted, I believe, for school supports and roads, and then $6.5 million is committed to various projects. And you have unassigned or unassigned fund balance of $5.5 million at the end of 2021. The next statement I'd like to go to is B3 on page 26. B3 on page 26 is your statement of revenue, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. This is basically like your income statement for the year. This shows all of your revenue and support that you received during the year, your expenditures, and the difference between, and any transfers you make, and the difference between that is your change in fund balance. Your total revenues for 2021 in your governmental funds was almost 15.5 million, 9.5 of that was in your general fund, and you also received almost $4 million in CARES funding. Your majority of your revenue, 6.7 million, was the governmental funds this year, which is also skewed a little bit this year because you do have the CARES funding. And then your property taxes was 3.4 million and sales taxes was 3.2 million. Your expenditures was 14.8 million, leaving you with $615,000 of excess of revenue over your expenditures. Then you have your transfers in and out and some insurance recovery during the year, leaving you with your net change in fund balance or addition to your fund balance of $1,078,000 in your governmental funds. Next statement I'm gonna go to is Exhibit C-1 on page 28. Now we're moving on to the business type activity side of things. As you can see, there's a lot of work to be done at the borough because you have your governmental activities and your business type activities, and for your staff, really, that's a lot of work to do throughout the year to maintain all of these funds. So Exhibit C1 is your statement of net position for your proprietary funds. The first page, 28, shows all of the breakdown of your assets by the different funds, all your major funds. And then the remaining is listed as your non-major funds. Your major enterprise funds where your electric, your water, wastewater, utilities, harbor and port facilities, and assisted living. And you can see the breakdown right there of your total assets. And the next page 29, shows all the associated liabilities for those same funds too. And your and then the page after, page 30, shows your net position at year end for each one of those funds. So the statement after is probably the one that interests you more, C2, page 31. So page 31, C2 is your business type activities, your proprietary funds, statement of revenue expenses and changes in net position. So since these funds are maintained at business type activity and their main goal is to at least make some income, I would say. So you can kind of see how each one of these funds did in this statement right here. Please note that you do, some of these net income or loss number does include the effect of depreciation expenses that is included in the financial statements. So if you look at like almost like a cash flow kind of thing, then you can see if you add up the depreciation, the electric fund would really actually, instead of 208,000, if you add back depreciation, you'd get to $692,000 of income for the year. For the wastewater, if you did the same thing, you'd end up with $255,000 of income, $169,000 for wastewater. Your harbor would have $489,000 in income. And the major fund that actually did not have an income this year would be the assisted living. So even with the adding back depreciation, you'd end up with $363,000 in loss. So that's a brief overview of the statements itself. And as I said earlier, we did do an audit in accordance with uniform guidance. So a brief summary of that is in the back of your financial statement, all the way on page 171. So page 171 is your schedule of findings and question cost. And this is where you go to see the results of your audit for your single audit. If you had a state single audit, that would also be included here. But the borrower was only subject to a uniform guidance or a federal single audit this year. Just to note that anytime you receive more than $750,000 in funding from federal sources or from state sources, then you would be subject to an audit for your federal programs if you get more than $750,000 federal funding, and an audit in accordance with State of Alaska Audit Guide if you receive more than $750,000 in state funding. So for 2021, you did have a federal single audit, and the result of that is right there. Nothing much to discuss here. No material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies, nothing to report. Clean opinion, unmodified opinion, and great job on your team's end there. So that's a brief overview of the financial statements. Any questions or clarifications that you might need?
Questions for Becky today? It does not appear so. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That will bring us, to the mayor's report. Recognizing Congressman Don Young, Alaska's only congressman, Don Young, passed away on March 18th, 2022, at the age of 88. He was the longest serving Republican in the U.S. House of Representatives, having served 49 years in office. Congressman Young worked hard for Alaskans, drafting and supporting legislation and funding for programs to the benefit of our state and the nation. He was a true force to be reckoned with, and Alaska will miss him dearly. Sincere condolences are offered to Congressman Young's family, along with a hearty thank you, Congressman Young, for a job well done. Petersburg Borough is accepting letters of interest from citizens who wish to serve by filling one of the vacant seats on the following boards and commissions until the October 2022 municipal election. We've got two vacant seats on the Planning Commission, and Parks and Rec Advisory Board also has two vacant seats. Both of these could really use some people to step up and volunteer, so letters of interest should be submitted to Clerk Thompson at the Borough offices located at 12 South Nordic Drive or by sending to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg, AK 99833, or by emailing to dthompson@petersburgak.gov. And with that, I will turn it over to Manager Giesbrick for the manager's report.
Thank you, sir. The South Harbor Dredge Project opened for bid on March 18th with the award date of June 13th. The U.S. Corps of Engineers received full federal funding for all of the base items in the bid packet, and we were excited as this is the only second civil works project the Alaska District has had to go to construction in the past 5 years. Thank you to First Bank for their recent donation of $3,000 to the library's 2022 summer reading program, and the Helmy Jensen Community Room dedication will be held Wednesday, April 6th from 4 to 5. Everyone is welcome at this very special occasion. The Parks and Rec Advisory Board will be hosting a work session on Thursday, April 7th at 6 p.m. in the Activity Room at the Community Center. They will be discussing Sandy Beach and future park ideas and projects. Meeting is in person. Please plan to join. New parent and tot and open swim times have been added to the Parks and Rec aquatic schedule. It's viewable on Facebook and on the borough's website, or call the front desk with any questions. Rotary will be hosting a Sandy Beach cleanup on Saturday, April 9th at 11 a.m., followed by a Petersburg Arts Council Moving Music Concert Series event in Shelter 2 at 1. Go jump into some fun. Had an outside instructor come to Petersburg for EMT2 and EMT3 recertification course and transition course to the state's new scope of practice. Two EMT3s and six EMT2s completed the recertification process. PCS, our computer vendor, informed us the entire contents of the community development folder on the Viking server has been lost. They are working with an outside vendor to see if the data can be recovered from the damaged equipment. This has also affected some other departments as far as delays related to the budget. Several department heads and I met with Sherry Klein from Senator Murkowski's office. She was happy to hear the borough would be represented at the Federal Grant Symposium in Anchorage. Liz and I met with Chad Wright with PIA to discuss housing issues and potential partnerships. And the manor is open for visitors. Please don't visit if you're not feeling well. Please call Sheelan with any questions. Spring cleanup of streets and right-of-way areas is underway, and it's bigger than usual job this season due to the heavy snowfall. Excess traction sand, fallen trees, and damaged guardrails are a few of the issues we are working to mitigate. We are prepping our public works yard for replacement of the large drainage culvert that failed in December of 2020. Due to the large scale of the required excavation, we're having to relocate some supplies and equipment to maintain department functions during the construction period. We continue to see shortages of new vehicles, parts, and supplies in the auto industry. We are seeing this in the form of increased prices and longer lead times for most things that are motor pool related. The transition to every other week recycling pickup will start on April 11th. The last week of regular residential curbside recycling pickups will be April 4th through the 8th. Details have been sent out via PSAs and ads in the Petersburg pilot. Anyone with questions should call Public Works at 772-4430 for additional information. And again, this is not getting rid of recycling, it's just going to every other week, and they have the details there if you need questions. Water Department is shifting gears on a project to eliminate a perceived cross-connection issue at the water storage tank. To install the piping and valve would require the line flooring to the tank be disabled for an extended period. This risk caused the department to rethink the method of satisfying the regulators on this issue in a different plan that will involve much shorter time frame. We are working through the development of the updated plans for this operation after consultation with ADEC. Wastewater staff is working with Rock and Road to wrap up the IRA 2 sewer main project. by performing an in-pipe inspection to verify that no groundwater leaks exist in the new main. Rock and Roll plans to complete the punch listed items soon to close out the work. Thanks to Public Works for assisting the wastewater crew in cutting and chipping damaged trees from the Greens Camp recreation area. The cooperative effort to clean up Greens Camp and provide chips for the composting cause is appreciated. Power and Light's lineman apprentice has reported for his first two-month session of line school. We wish him the best and know that he will represent Power and Light and the borough well. We recently accepted proposals for the replacement of the Superior building roof. Only one proposal was received, and it exceeded the budget by a wide margin. We were forced to reject the proposal and now plan to break the work into smaller pieces, and we'll know more about that later. NC Machinery will be mobilizing to Petersburg to commence the Caterpillar 399 overhaul on April 18th, and EPC will mobilize to Petersburg during the week of April 18th as well to complete testing and maintenance of the generator breakers at the downtown power plant and at Scow Bay. The line crew is working on a replacement to service to a group of three customers in Scow Bay that had their underground electrical services fail over the winter. The crew was able to install a temporary line for service and is now installing an overhead service to provide the permanent solution. SEPA recently consulted with Power and Light on a damaged guy pole in Scow Bay. Power and Light will complete the work and invoice SEPA for the materials, time, and equipment needed for the repair. As of March 29th, the borough has received 17 property assessment appeals, some of which have been settled. If all of the appeals are not resolved before the Board of Equalization, which is the assembly, will meet on April 14th at 5 p.m. to make a decision on the remaining appeals. The FY 2023 proposed budget is coming together, waiting on a couple of departments for the remaining pieces, and me, for the borough manager, is reviewing the department budgets as they come in. And that's it. Unless there's questions.
Questions for the manager today. Member Lynn.
Two questions related to the harbor dredging. One is, was there any change in our matching on that from when you finalized it? And the second part is, who does their construction inspection? Is that ours or is that
Yes, thanks for the question. First of all, on the budget, nothing changed. We sent them their $1 million to do the area that they are 100%, or they are 80% to the 100 match. And we will see after bid opening what we can afford on the other two or three phases. So at that point, you know, if we can afford it all, I'll come back to you with those numbers for you to help us decide how far we want to go with the project. But $1 million is upfront what we have. They're going to go to bid with that. And then, this is the beautiful part of being in a partnership with the Corps of Engineers. They handle it all. So we just get to sit and attend meetings that we don't have to do much arguing with. So it's a good partnership.
Thank you, Gloria Ann. Any further questions for the manager? Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess to the city manager, are we any closer to getting some information on a possible spring cleanup here in mid-May? I know we've talked about it a couple times, but
I'd have to defer to Chris Cotta. I know they were pulling some data on that, but I don't have it here in today's meeting.
Okay.
Further questions for the manager? Unless Cotta, Chris, did you want to chime in on that one? It's okay if not, but I figured I'd throw it to you since it was a question for the manager.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to what Steve said. We'll try and have something together for the next meeting.
Sounds great, Chris. Thank you. Member Kensinger.
Yes, I was kind of concerned about the data that was lost, community development lost, when the server went down. Did we ever figure out what happened or why it happened or what we have to do to restore it?
I could speak to some of it. How's that? Okay. Yeah. A failed disk is being sent to an outside vendor to see if they can pull data off of it and, you know, get more of it recovered than what we've been up to this point. It appears that the backup system there were certain places that weren't checked, like check the box kind of thing. And in those cases, things did not get backed up. So when we had a failure, that became the problem. There's another issue, too, which is the restoring of the data, even when we had the data, ended up taking a whole lot longer than expected. So in other words, everything goes down, we go to restore it, and in some cases it took over a month to be able to restore the data. So we're in some conversations with the vendor to say, you know, we really need things to be restored a little faster than that. And then we also need to make sure that everything is backed up on a regular basis so that we don't have this happen. Jody, can you, did I hit everything or?
Yeah. So basically the backup failed and the hard disk that the data was stored on failed as well.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
The hard disk that the data was stored on failed, and then when you went to try and back up the data, the backup failed.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It actually wasn't ever, in some cases, very
was
few,
never backed
was
up.
Never backed up at all.
Right. And then what do we have to do if we can't restore it from the backup? Is that data just lost? Or?
Well, in some cases, yes. In many cases, no, because we have it in email. So anytime an email file was sent, a lot of that in community development, there's a lot of email traffic back and forth. So we have actually records, and that's what they're doing right now is going through emails and finding, okay, here's something that would have been in the files and then printing it out and adding it back to the files. So we won't know for a while and maybe ever how much was lost that is still needed.
But the basic property data, that also sits on the state server as well, too.
Right. And
all the property descriptions.
And that piece is not at risk. These are
right. Okay.
These are old,
like
records.
Old records, old emails, old
right. Likely
records from past planning and zoning meetings and that nature.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And just, I can chime in a little bit. Please luckily,
do.
A lot of the planning meetings are on Granicus, our old legislature. Software. And on the website, there's a lot of community development forms as well. So all of those are recoverable. But of course, those forms are in PDF and, you know, they created them in Word. And so, I mean, you can convert from PDF to Word, but it kind of skews things a little bit. But there's workarounds. It's just exhausting. And community development is trying to make it work.
Thanks for that, Jody. Any further questions of the manager today? Seeing none, thank you, Steve. All right. That brings us down to 14, unfinished business. Ordinance 2022-04, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2022 budget for known changes. Ordinance 2022-04, if adopted, will approve fund transfers for 1, the Electric Department 399 CAT and frame overhaul, 2, purchase of a new flatbed plow truck for the Harbor Department. 3, acceptance of the $1,430,892 DCRA local government lost revenue grant. And 4, unexpected rooftop snow removal, electric expenses for the Parks and Rec Department. This ordinance was unanimously passed in its first reading. This is our second reading of it, so I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Lynn. And just a reminder, since the public hearing did not happen today, it will be happening at the next meeting. Discussion on the ordinance and its second reading. Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
And ordinance 2022-04 passes unanimously in its second reading. Brings us to item 15, new business. Resolution 2022-05. A resolution opposing House Bill number 303 and Senate Bill number 180 of the State of Alaska 32nd Legislature. Both bills are entitled An Act Relating to Commercial Passenger Vessel Environmental Compliance, relating to commercial passenger vessel fees, establishing the Wastewater Infrastructure Grant Fund, repealing the authority of for citizens, suits relating to commercial passenger vessel environmental compliance and repealing the commercial passenger vessel recognition program and providing for an effective date. So, this is a resolution
opposing House Bill 303 and Senate Bill 180, which, if both of those were passed, would repeal the Ocean Rangers program. This was requested by Member Lynn, so I'd entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Kintzinger and second by Member Tremblay. Member Lynn, since you put this on, I'd defer to you to open the discussion if you'd like.
Thank you. First of all, I want to give a lot of thanks to Carl and to Debbie for helping put all that together. It was quite an effort there to go through those two bills. At any rate, for the public, there's a couple of things here. The governor has proposed to essentially do away with the Ocean Ranger program and do everything electronically. It also takes the rights of citizens to file suit against any kind of a dump or that type of situation. And it does a number of other things. It would create more funding for us, increase our capacity to treat wastewater. But the funds are really small, and I don't think we'd stand a chance. And there's other parts into that thing that we really disagree with it. And so what the staff did is essentially put together what we could agree with, and I think that's the best part of it, or where we'd like to see all this go, and which would also include an increase or a continuation of the Ocean Ranger or their alike of it. That's the important part. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Further discussion by the Assembly on this resolution? Opposing House Bill 303 and Senate Bill 180. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Like Member Lynn said, I want to thank city staff for putting this together, or borough staff putting this together. It answered a whole bunch of stuff. It came out in opposition to the House bill and the Senate bill, but it came in support of the Ocean Ranger program. And we're all aware of all the letters we've gotten from folks in the last week and a half about the support for the Ocean Ranger program. And while it might be an inconvenience for the big cruise ships, it's a vital tool for the waters of Southeast, where a lot of our community members, small business owners, spend a lot of time on the water fishing and showing people what's cool about Southeast Alaska. So somebody else brought up a point that the halibut boats and the longline boats, they're required to have observers on, and it costs them money. And the big cruise ships need to be better neighbors. They're coming here to show people parts of Alaska that people never get a chance to see. The small cruise ship seems to be good visitors. They care about when they come to the communities, and we need to make sure that the big cruise ships have that same attitude. I think it's important that a lot of the commercial fishermen in town, they have cameras and phones on their boats, and it's important for them. They're their eyes on the ground to document some of the stuff that goes on, because we need to hold people accountable. This is a good resolution, and I hope it provides a template for other communities who might want to jump on board this and provide the same type of support and opposition to this House bill and Senate bill. So I think it's a great resolution, and I'm going to be voting in support of it.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Member Kintzinger.
Yes, I'm very much in support of this resolution, and the one part I like is that the funding be restored, because it's my understanding that while we had a very successful Ocean Ranger program, the current governor more or less diminished the funding for this. So even though it had been passed in law, it had been passed by, but the governor chose not to fund it. So I think we need to make a strong request that the program be reinstated and also funded, as has been mandated or has been requested by the legislature.
Thank you, Member Kintzinger. Any further discussion? I'll just briefly chime in. I think the other members who spoke phrased it well. I'll definitely be supporting this resolution, and I thank the staff for preparing it, and Member Lynn. The Ocean Rangers program works. I know for myself, I really want to be as supportive as possible to the cruise industry, because they're vital to our Alaskan economy, and it's wonderful to share our place here in Southeast Alaska with people from all over the world. And the word that comes to my mind, though, is stewardship. You know, we want the cruise ship industry to be great stewards of this resource, and DEC has long had a history of not being great at enforcement. House Bill 303 and Senate Bill 180, I think, further eviscerate the ability for DEC to get involved, even if they were so inclined. I hope many communities attempt to pass resolutions such as this, so we can send a strong message to our governor that the Ocean Ranger program and protecting our Southeast Alaska waters is vitally important. Seeing no further discussion, would the clerk please call the roll on this resolution?
Chelsea?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Resolution 22-05 passes unanimously. Which brings us to new business item B, resolution 2022-06, a resolution establishing an early childhood education task force. I would entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Amici and seconded by Member Kensinger. Several of you kind of wanted this on there, so whoever wants to take the lead for the discussion, have at it. Member Amici.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
Like you said, several of us kind of put this together. Actually, we didn't put it together. Debbie did. So credit where credit's given. But this is the culmination of many community cafe and several work sessions that the Assembly has had. And what this does is it sets up this task force to focus on childcare education in Petersburg. It kind of takes it out of the Assembly's hands at this point and focuses on a group made up of the community members and the resolution. It has who the task force members would be. It would be child care educators, member of the Petersburg School District, Petersburg Medical Center, the Economic Development Council, Chamber of Commerce, Share Coalition, Borough Assembly, retail employees, and public at large. When we say borough, Petersburg Borough, I think we're talking about the city manager. But I would imagine that this group is going to be getting together here in the next several weeks or months to focus on some of the objectives that they've come up with and try and figure out how we're going to solve or at least address some of the issues that this group has come up with or the Share Coalition and the task force has come up with and funding some of these ideas. And I would imagine that this group would have a facilitator that would help them meet their goals and objectives. And I would imagine that they would bring forward some objectives to the Assembly that might require some funding. So I didn't want to get hung up on the funding mechanism of it at this point, but I would expect at some time after they have a facilitator on board and they've had a chance to meet for a while that they will come to the Assembly to share some of their objectives and what it might cost the borough to move forward with that. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of work. You might not hear me speaking about it every week or every 2 weeks like we have in the last couple of years, but I think this is a good evolution of where we're going with this, and I think the task force will have their hands full, and I look forward to working with them. So, yeah, I'm voting in favor of this, obviously. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You bet. Member Tremblay.
Thank you. I just wanted to share why I'm excited about this as a concept. I also wanted to recognize the hard work of the Share Coalition and the early childhood workforce that's been, or I'm not going to get it right, the working group that's been happening within the Share Coalition. I see this as a way to bring the work that those folks are doing into collaboration with other entities of town just to make it a more efficient process to try to get to some sustainable answers and hopefully get some solutions going. And so I'm really excited to bring the hard work and brains of folks with the most knowledge into collaboration with members of the borough and other groups from around the community, because I see that that coming together can just make the whole process a lot easier. Right now, we've kind of, the borough assembly has been kind of the in-between communication point, and I think we can just skip a few steps and get brains together. So I'm hoping that that's what the task force can accomplish. And well, I'm excited to nudge a few key people as hopeful members of this task force. So we'll see and who puts their name in.
Thank you, Member Tremblay. Member Lynn.
I have three amendments I'd like to propose for this. And
take them one at a time. I'm ready. Clerk Thompson, right. You feeling ready?
Yep.
All right.
My first amendment is on the bottom of the first page of it is, whereas the suggested task force would include up to 15 appointed members, I would like to add into that to the borough manager. And
to add the borough manager to that list of people.
Suggested.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment to add the borough manager to the list of participants, for lack of a better term?
And before somebody asks, I have asked the manager, and he has reluctantly, he has very reluctantly agreed. So, with that, and I think it'll help keep, you know, put it, unfortunately, you know, put some sideboards, but at least it's what we can do and can't do. That's what was my objective here. Thank you.
Well, that sound makes sense. Any further discussions on the amendment at the borough manager? Okay, with the clerk Thompson, yes.
Thank you. Member Lynn, I was going to ask if it's okay with you, because this whereas talks about a mixture of the following groups or entities, may I, instead of adding borough manager into this list, may I just do a separate whereas saying the assembly appoints the borough manager to this task force?
I would be fine with that.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Any opposition from the assembly on that? That makes sense, Debbie. In that case, would the clerk, when she's ready, call the roll on that amendment?
Yes. Thomas?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that amendment passes unanimously to have a separate whereas, designating that we're appointing the borough manager to be part of this task force. Keep it rolling, Member Lynn.
Right, my second proposed amendment is at the end of the, therefore be it all resolved after you have the public at large, I would like to add a sentence, is that the assembly will select the working group at the second meeting in May.
Second.
Okay, the amendment has been made to more or less select members of the that have applied the second meeting in May, and I believe there's Member Mucci who seconded it. Discussion on the amendment. Member Lynn, if you wanted to lead it out.
Where I was going with that is it puts an end date of when we will select that and put it into process, was my point.
Yeah, that makes sense. Further discussion on said amendment? Will the clerk please call the roll on the amendment to add the second meeting in May for our appointing date?
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that amendment also passes unanimously. Member Lynn, keep it going.
All right, third one is gets a little more complex. I hope we don't get wrapped around the axle on it. But
okay.
My third one, I'm going to pass out. And what I'd like to do is to add, well, let me pass it around. And I've asked also the clerk if she could to put it on the screen.
Sorry about that.
So that everybody can see it. I would like to delete the very last whereas and replace that with some objectives. And where these objectives come from is that I reviewed all, well, not just me, but a number of folks have reviewed all the meetings, the workshops that you've had, or the work sessions. This comes from both the medical center, the workers, and the child care, and so forth. And these are objectives that essentially was their idea that should be done by the work group. And it's by all means not complete, but it's a place that I think that folks that I've heard, at least in the all the work groups, that are in favor of. Anyway, and I'll read those if I could here.
Let's get on the table for discussion first, see if there's
okay,
a second.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Second that.
All right, the amendment has been made to add this list of things that Bob is going to discuss. And thank you, Member Lynn, for reading that for the listening public. And Member Mucci seconded it. So proceed, sir.
All right. I would delete the last whereas clause and add a second resolve as follows. Further resolve that the task force objectives is to recommend solutions to the child care preschool industry issues and submit a plan to the assembly for consideration at a future meeting to sustainably move the industry in a better direction. The task force plan to the assembly shall include, but not be limited to, 1, establishment of quantitative baseline to evaluate effectiveness of any financial or quality incentives to provide to providers to improve quality and availability of child care. For example, turnover rates, number of new staff with certifications, number of hours of continuing education, and on. And it's open-ended so they can add, change, what have you. Second item, review of early childhood care educational and training opportunities available. Summary of discussion with child care program and recommendation to align local programs with planned state ARPA fund disbursements. And where that comes from is the The state had received over $100 million through ARPA, but nobody in the child care industry knows how it's going to be used. The question is here if our group can help facilitate how that might be disturbed and what it can be do. That's the reason for that one. That came from that group. Summary of a discussion, let me see, I got that one. Programs and funding sources resulting in higher wages and or benefits for child care educators. 5, opportunities to establish or expand youth education activities, after school and summer programs. For example, licensable spaces, shared resources, etc. 6, summary of programs implemented by other municipalities and regions to support child care. And 7, identification of state regulations and statutes that hinder providing quality, affordable child care in our community. It's open-ended. You can make any changes you want to, and it's a place I think to start, you know, for their group to start. And I left it open-ended so it could be modified, what have you. But at least it's something and a set of objectives to come back to.
Further discussion from the Assembly on this amendment? Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, and thanks, Member Lynn, for putting this together. I think leaving it open-ended is great. I think all these ideas have been talked about a little bit, and I think, it's a good place to start, and I'll be supporting this amendment.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Yeah, Member Lynn, I want to just key in on one piece of language that I thought was critical to this amendment is, shall include but not be limited to. Sometimes when you're walking down these theoretical trails, something else jumps out and you want to follow that, and this definitely, at least in my eyes, will give the task force the ability to pursue things that come up on the fly. Nicely done, sir. Further discussion on the amendment? The clerk, please call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that amendment passes unanimously, bringing us, and it's been thrice amended, bring us back to the resolution as a whole to establish an early childhood education task force. Further discussion from the Assembly. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a point of clarification on the last thereof. There's under the Borough Assembly, there's retail employees. That was added in there as an additional member that might not be associated with the Chamber of Commerce. Whether it might be somebody working at one of the hardware stores or bookstores or grocery stores or downtown. I didn't want to limit it to just a Chamber of Commerce participation. I wanted folks who might have an interest in this, which I'm sure they do, to be able to sit on this task force because I think they're a very important part of the conversation as well. So I just wanted to explain why retail's employees are on there. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Member Mitri. All right, further discussion on the resolution as a whole. I'll weigh in briefly. I'll be voting for this. As we've known, early childhood education and child care has long since been an issue here in the community. I would implore members of the community to be a part of this task force. I'm looking at this, and it'll obviously take a lot of work. It's not going to be a sprint. It's definitely going to be a marathon. I highly encourage and implore members of the community to help find solutions. Getting a group of 15-ish people together to put their heads together and take on a really big task like this is, that's the good work. I really, really hope people put their names in for it. I look forward to seeing an overabundance of people willing to step up. Any further discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Chelsea?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Resolution 2022-06 passes unanimously. We look forward to getting some people applying for that. Next, item C, PMPL transformer purchase request. Utility Director Hagerman request to purchase 30 pole-mounted transformers from General Pacific for an amount not to exceed $54,150. Estimated shipping fees from Seattle to Petersburg are an additional $5,000 for a total purchase cost of $59,150. I would entertain a motion to approve this request.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Lynn. Discussion.
Carl, just for those listening at home, can you speak briefly to it if you wouldn't mind?
Yes, I can. So this is actually unusual for this kind of a purchase request to come to the assembly, but it kind of allows me to talk about the situation we're in right now with the supply chain issues and the long lead times that we're seeing for these types of components. The prices have gone up dramatically for these transformers, but the biggest issue is the lead time. We're looking at these transformers if ordered today, not showing up until January. Hopefully, you know, that's the best guess right now. And the other quote was for these same transformers to not show up until spring of 2024, which is just amazing to think about, you know, when we've got development or transformers that might fail between now and then, you know, to try and plan for those failures and have supplies on hand to keep people in power. So it's important that this be passed and we be able to put this order in right now. And it's just a sign of the times. I'll have probably a meter order coming your way very soon as well. Same types of issues. Unfortunately, trying to plan a couple years ahead, you know, is going to be very difficult. Probably not only for us and the power department, but anyway, that's in a nutshell. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that and for being proactive given the large lead time. Questions for Carl or further discussion from the assembly? Member Kinsinger.
So, Carl, would you normally just order them one by one or five at a time, or what's the normal process? How you do this in normal times?
We would normally put in an order of this magnitude, maybe a little smaller, but it wouldn't normally rise to this dollar amount. And so it would be within the manager's spending authority, and we would be able to move forward with a purchase and not have to come to the assembly.
Thanks.
Further discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Thank you.
And the purchase request passes unanimously. Time to get ordering, Carl. Item D, fiscal year 2023 assembly travel and training budget. Clerk Thompson is working on the assembly budget for fiscal year 2023 and requests approval of the assembly travel and training line item set at $19,500. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Kinsinger. Discussion. Member Mucci.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What does $19,500 cover?
Okay, well, it covers two attendees from the assembly. So we have three seats up this year in the October election. We have a mayor seat and two assembly member seats. So I have to just think that maybe there'll be brand new assembly members and we would want to send two of them to the AML meeting so that they could attend the newly elected official training and everything and meet people. Two attendees from the assembly to attend Southeast Conference annual meeting in September in Ketchikan. Two possible new assembly members to the AML annual conference and newly elected official training in December now. They've changed it from November to December of 2022 in Anchorage. The mayor and one assembly member to attend the AML conference and Alaska Conference of Mayors, also in Anchorage in December. Two attendees from the assembly to go to the AML summer legislative meeting in August of 2023 in Homer. The mayor and one assembly member to attend the AML winter legislative meeting in February of 2023 in Juneau. And two attendees from the assembly to attend the Southeast Conference mid-session summit in February of 2023 in Juneau.
Thank you.
And just for those listening at home, and Debbie, correct me if I'm wrong, generally speaking, we've budgeted accordingly like this, even if we don't send people to all these things, we want to make sure we have the funds prepared in case we so choose to do so.
Correct. And this is the same as the budget for FY22.
Yep. Any questions or further discussion from the assembly? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Jeff?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously, bringing us to item E, Juneau Economic Development Council presentation on childcare in Juneau. Assemblymember Mucci requests approval to hold an assembly work session to receive a one-hour presentation via Zoom from Brian Holst with the JEDC regarding Juneau's childcare issue and how they were handling it from the economic development perspective. I would entertain a motion to approve this.
Move. Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Kensinger. Discussion.
Mayor?
Yes, Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we've had a request from somebody within the Share Coalition to host this, I guess, a Zoom meeting with Brian Holst from the Juneau Economic Development Committee. I was just curious how we might want to handle it to schedule this work session, because I know we're all kind of obviously busy and stuff, but I just wanted to throw it out there for discussion how we're going to schedule this, because I think it's important to listen to see what Juneau has done so that we can kind of help us when we're dealing with our decisions as we move forward. So I just threw it out there for discussion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, well, let's grab onto that one for a second from a logistical standpoint. And any of you, interrupt me if I'm missing here. You know, coordinating with Brian will be its own can of worms, so obviously part of it's going to be tied into his availability and ours. Clerk Thompson, just thinking out loud, what's the cleanest way to do scheduling from your perspective, since you're generally the wrangler of all of us?
Well, I think that the first thing we need to find out is when Brian Holst can be available, of course.
Yep, with you there.
And then from that point, I could send an email to the Assembly and interested parties, which may probably wouldn't be the task force at that point, but whatever names you guys ask me to send to, and try to get a date together, go that route.
No, that makes complete sense to me. So we prove this as is, then turn you loose on the schedule end of the fun logistical things.
Yes, I would ask that someone else do the contacting of Brian Holst, and or at least get me contact information. I can do it as long as I have that, I suppose.
Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I can contact Brian, Mr. Mayor, and get that information.
Get them coordinated.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to, when I'm talking to Brian, I'd like to, if he had a prepared presentation paperwork, it'd be nice to have that before the work session so we had a chance to kind of go over it.
Sure.
So I will mention that to him if that's okay with everybody, and I'll do that.
Oh, that makes complete sense. Does that clarification of the logistics make sense? 1 second, Mr. Manager.
I was just pointing.
Yep. Steve, it's all you.
Just observation.
Please.
So the Assembly voted today to put a task force in place and then promptly kick the task force out of it and having your own work session on the same subject. Just something to think about. I mean, if you want the task force to be successful, empower them to go attend stuff like this. But again, I mean, that's your call.
You took part of my discussion on that, and I appreciate
Sorry.
It. No, not at all. I appreciate it. As in my mind, what I was thinking was, as you talked to Brian, thinking, you know, sometime post second meeting in May when we have a task force together. So, the irony of that was not lost on me, sir. But thank you for bringing it up anyway. Does that make sense to you, Member Mucci?
Absolutely.
Member Tremblay.
Just wanted to share as one of the, because we talked about this at the work session that we had about why the logic behind having a standalone meeting for the Assembly as opposed to just focusing on the task force. And a lot of it is we as policymakers are new to this topic at large. And so by approaching it at large from an Assembly perspective with somebody from another member of the community means that we as a body will be better prepared to hear whatever comes out of the task force instead of coming new and expecting the task force to bring all of their policy and knowledge through that one Assembly representative to the body. It's us getting more educated as a whole. That was some of our logic. So I understand if not everybody can make it, but hearing what other communities are doing, at least just one representative in mass, especially since it sounds like they're making some forward motions they're making some progress, and we need help. So that's, yeah.
Absolutely. Further discussion, Member Mucci.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just trying to clarify, when I talked to Brian, am I asking for 2 1-hour things or just one with the task force? and the assembly.
The second, if I am hearing what the assembly had spoken to and the manager of, I would see that work session involving those assembly members which could attend post the second meeting in May when we appoint said task force and including the task force and the assembly at once, so that we're not disseminating. So we're being efficient in our information dissemination.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Further discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
And item E passes unanimously, and we will start the process of organizing time with the task force and Brian from Juneau. There is no item F since we removed it. Here's the discussion item, though, yes? Oh, you're all good. It's making sure I'm on point. 16, communications. All correspondence received since March 17, 2022 is available for your perusal on the borough website. Bring us to item 17, assembly discussion items. Member Tremblay wanted to speak to ranked choice voting, so the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. I got this idea through reading a PSA on the radio. Matt Lichtenstein with the Legislative Information Office is offering to walk people through the ranked choice voting system, which is now being implemented for the very first time, I believe in the nation's history, for a federal seat. So we're in the first of firsts. It's very exciting. And it's going to be a little bit confusing. And so I read that PSA, which anybody can call him in 772-3741, which is very generous of him. But I thought it might be nice to collaborate with him to host something for the community to come watch and or participate in kind of an information session. He has permission to join Clerk Thompson in the assembly chambers if we wanted to host it here, where they could use the screen, people could zoom in if they couldn't attend in person, and you can walk through. And I forgot to mention, people from Division of Elections are going to be made available to do these kinds of presentations. So it'd be Division of Elections official, along with Clerk Thompson and Matt with the LIO. And I just thought it would be nice to host an event, make it a thing where people can learn from each other and also the experts, so we can all figure out what is happening, because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Clerk Thompson, the first election of this is going to be the special election, and that is going to be a by-mail election. So people are going to be getting ballots mailed to them soon under this new system, and I thought we could all use a little help learning about it together.
That is correct, and there will also be absentee voting in person 2 weeks prior to the special primary, so...
Okay.
Yes. Yes. We need to learn.
Yes. We all need to learn, and we need to learn together. And so so this wasn't necessarily an action item because it just takes Clerk Thompson reaching out to Division of Elections. But if there was strong opposition to the concept then among us right now, then I guess it could be a member of new business on the next meeting. But I thought time was of the essence, so just rather making it happen might be better. So I'm opening the floor if anyone has... thoughts? Or are we all experts already?
I'll briefly chime in on that is, yes, to be very obvious here, having us as an educated electorate throughout the community as a new ranked choice voting will make for better democracy. So I think it's any assistance we can get would be most helpful, I think. And Clerk Thompson, you feel comfortable with that?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it makes for better democracy. You know, I'm glad we passed ranked choice voting, but it's learning a new thing. Further discussion from the assembly regarding that topic?
Just that the scheduling of it will be between Clerk Thompson, Division of Elections, and Matt Lichtenstein. So I'm excited to hear about when it will happen. And so, Debbie, if you need anything from us, please let us know. But I'm looking forward to learning along with everybody else.
You bet. I'll get an email sent after the meeting.
Thank you.
Yes.
No, thank you for bringing that up, Member Tremblay. That will make for... better local democracy. Assembly member comments. Member Lynn.
I have a number of comments. First of all, I want to talk again, thank Jody and the crew. To get an I'm going to use the wrong language, but anyhow, the unmodified opinion is excellent. And we've done this now for, what, the past 5 years or so? So with the crew and what we've done, I think we all need to give them a lot of credit for keeping us where we are on the straight and narrow, so to speak. Thank you. That's one. And I let anybody else to chime in here with me on that. But
keep the floor.
Okay, the second item I have is on a hospital board assembly work session. I've talked with, the clerk and I both talked with Phil Hofstetter. We'd like to hold a work session sometime in late May. I think we had some dates, and I don't remember exactly what those were that we were going to propose.
We were talking late April, early May, right?
Early May. And with one primary topic, and that is to talk about the siting for a new hospital. And with that $8 million and so forth that we would receive and what we might do, and that would be the almost the sole topic of that meeting. And for that meeting, I'd also hope that we could have both the manager, utility director, public works director, and the economics director a part of that, because obviously if it's on lands and so forth, they need to be part of that too to know what and to chime in. That's my
quick clarifier. You said siting as in like site selection, to make sure I heard you right for the meeting.
In site selection, correct.
Thank you.
My tongue might have got tied.
No, you're good. Just making sure I heard you right.
Okay. And then I'd like to ask for to put something on the next agenda related to the last time we updated STIP was about a year ago or so. But since then, you know, the state has received, and I've talked to folks in the Department of Transportation, over $500 million in funding for road and infrastructure projects, including harbors and so forth. And what I'd like us to do is to relook at that list at the next meeting, update that list, and particularly also from the harbor standpoint. It may be perfect, but I'd really, really like to take a look at it. But one thing that list does not do, it doesn't address things, when I looked at it, outside of the community itself. It doesn't address anything like Banana Point or Papke's or anything else, and I'd like to see that expanded. Anyway, I'd like to see that, if I could, on the next agenda, that we could take a look at it and then agree or disagree.
You catch that, Clerk Thompson, for the next meeting?
Yes.
Just making sure. Of course.
And thank you. That's about all I got. And thank you for bringing up ranked choice voting.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Further assembly member comments?
Just a question. Are we far enough along that we can do a site selection for the hospital yet? Or is this just a preliminary?
It'll be preliminary. I mean, there will be more work. But I think we're collectively we're at a point now that they got the sites, you know, pretty well narrowed down, and I think that's part of what we go through, the whole, which ones were all looked at, the details associated with those, and hopefully come out when we walk away, we'd have at least down at least to one or two. And I would agree with Mr. Hofstetter from the standpoint that you really want to concentrate all your efforts on one site. You know, you have X amount of dollars, and that's where I think I don't want to talk for him, but I think that's exactly where he wants to go, is to be able to get to that point.
Thank you.
Recognitions. I'll piggyback on what Bob said about the audit. For those listening at home, our finance department is wonderful, and the reason you don't hear about them all that often is because they do their jobs well. when they're doing their jobs well, things stay quiet, and we get audit reports like we got today. So just a public recognition of the very good financial place we are in as a borough, and that did not happen on accident. That was due to your efforts. So thank you. For the recognitions, Member Kensinger.
I'm just going to piggyback on Jay. Thank you, Jody.
For the recognitions, Member Tremblay.
I'd just like to thank the Petersburg Humane Society for having such a fun spring fundraiser. I really like seeing the flamingos everywhere. And so, reminder, I think you can still pay some money and surprise somebody with some flamingos. So thank you for the care that they give the creatures in this community and for the creative ways to spring a little bit.
Right on. Seeing no further recognitions, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.